Hi, and welcome to the 19th Hole Golf Show. My name is Ryan Ballingy. Great to have you here with us. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Follow me on Twitter, @RyanBallingy. You can find my work at golfnewsnet.com or on Yahoo Sports' Double Ball Golf blog on sports.yahoo.com. And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/golfnewsnet. Our show is presented by BetDSI.com, Golf News Net's weekly golf odds posts feature BetDSI.com odds. And one thing we really like about working with BetDSI is that each week when they're showing odds, and we focus on picking winners as opposed to head-to-head, but they do this for them as well, they show you betting percentages, so what amount of money is on any particular player at any one time, and it gives you a good sense of the action that is out there and what the betting community is thinking. Now, obviously, betting depends on your jurisdiction and all of those good things, but we'd like to present the odds each week to give you a sense of not only from a betting perspective, but also from a fantasy perspective, what people are putting money on golf each week are doing, and maybe that gives you an indication of how well a player might do. So that fits very well into our fantasy portfolio, and we're happy to have BetDSI.com as the presenting sponsor for that each and every week as well in this podcast. Sorry for no show last week. We had intended to do one from the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, Florida, and I've been going to the show probably for 7 or 8 years now, something like that. And I've done it as an independent blogger with basically no income related to that, just doing it for kind of fun. I've done it for NBC and Golf Channel and Back Nine Network and Billy Casper Golf. And now I'm doing it for myself, and the show is taking on a different meaning for me. It means not so much content. I mean, we've produced that, and we'll still have more coming from the PGA Merchandise Show, but it's not so much of an event for us that needs to be covered live around the clock. It's stuff that we think about in retrospect, and you can see some of that content on golfnewsnet.com. We talked about some of the really fascinating entrepreneurial stories of people that we've met over the years of the show that we either keep tabs with or we've become friends with or we even do business with. And this show takes a different meaning now for us as we've been able to grow, and we're so appreciative of your support for that. And it gives us an opportunity to speak with folks in a different way, that we're not necessarily just trying to figure out who they are, but they're trying to figure out who we are and how best we can work together. And I say this to people all the time. This isn't politics. This isn't life and death stuff. This is golf. And golf is a wonderful community of people that want to help each other if the feeling is mutual. And the resounding response that we've gotten from the golf community, especially this year, has been humbling, warming, encouraging. It's been wonderful. So ultimately, all of that stuff took up a lot of time and prevented us from doing a show. But the thing I wanted to emphasize about the PGA Merchandise Show is that it isn't necessarily about the product. I mean, for a lot of people, it is. It is maybe their one and only opportunity to try to make an impression to green grass and big box store buyers to get their products in front of more people and turn what might be a passion project into a career, or turn what has turned into a nice career into a windfall of profit. I think those stories are the most fascinating. I love connecting with the folks at the big boy manufacturers on the equipment side as well on the fashion side. The grip folks, the cart people, Yamaha, Club Car, Club Glove, and they make great stuff that works for travel. That's what people use. Those guys are all doing great. By and large, they're doing great because they've figured out a business model that works and they connect with golfers. It's plain and simple. I love to talk to folks who are trying to figure out how to make it work, or that they've made it work and you're seeing it work. You're seeing it work in real time, and you're seeing them and their mind and their business work in real time, trying to figure out how to grow and go along the right path so that they reach their goals. That, to me, as someone who's trying to do the same thing in a slightly different way in terms of content and trying to build an audience and trying to do it the right way, I just love having those conversations, and I want to root for those people. So that's kind of the thing we focused on at golfnewsnet.com. We have a story about 5 or 6 different companies that are at different stages of their lives and the folks behind them and their passions, their dreams, and I hope you read it. I hope you enjoy it. So that's that from the PGA Show. This week, I want to talk about Bubba Watson. Primarily Bubba Watson. We will get into some other things. But Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson shoved his foot in his mouth again on Wednesday ahead of the Waste Management Phoenix Open when he was asked by a reporter in his news conference why he likes TPC Scottsdale. After all, he's been in the top 15 in this tournament in each of the last 4 years. He's been the co-runner-up each of the last 2 years. He's made $1 million, $1.01 million, if you want to be exact, in this tournament in the last 2 years. So, naturally, I think a reporter would assume the guy likes the course. He plays it well, so you should like it. Well, Watson took the opportunity to answer that question in the completely opposite manner than maybe the reporter was anticipating. But it was kind of the money quote of the week leading into the tournament, which was that he doesn't like it. He doesn't care for the golf course. He doesn't like the changes that Tom Weisskopf, who designed TPC Scottsdale and put it into play in the 1980s, he came back in 2014, made changes to the golf course, made it longer, particularly in certain spots, made the 14th hole a lot harder of a par 4, moved some of the bunkering around, enlarged it, changed it so that it came into play for longer hitters. And Bubba Watson does not like that. He doesn't like that he has essentially been targeted by Tom Weisskopf because he hits the ball so far. And he said he doesn't like the golf course. And that means he's only playing in this golf tournament because his sponsors are here. They're Ping, Stance Sox, Oakley, and he didn't try to sugarcoat it. He had a Bubba moment when he feels like he has an opinion and he's in the right, then he says it, and then all of a sudden he goes, "Oh, the words are coming out." You know, it's a Brian Regan bit. We go, "Oh, the words are coming out," and you can't stop it. And he paid the price on Thursday. He got a terrible reception at the 16th hole, the par 3 16th, where you got like 20,000-30,000 people around the hole, all of them in skyboxes. They're pretty loaded, not only in terms of alcohol content, but also in their wallets. They're the people that spend money, the people that support the Thunderbirds in this great tournament, golf's best party by far. And he got it. I mean, he knew it was coming. He knew he was going to get booed, and they rained down boos on him. And good for Watson. He took it. And he's probably going to take it again today, and Saturday if he makes the cut, and Sunday if he makes the cut. And he stuck it to 11, 12 feet and made birdie. And the people of the green, they applauded for his birdie. But Bubba Watson is tone deaf. And I think we've seen this time and again, where he is just happy to be in his own little world, and he, for whatever reason, maybe he legitimately doesn't care what other people think. I don't believe that's the case, and I'll explain why in a minute. But maybe he just doesn't understand the words that are coming out of his mouth. What Kevin Hart used to say that, Chris Tucker used to say that, Jackie Chan. I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. Well, I don't think Bubba understands the words coming out of his mouth or the power that it has for the fact that he is a two-time Masters champion. What he says carries weight. Like it or not, it does. And he's got a lot of people who support him, like it or not. And so when he says, "I don't like the golf course, and I'm just here because my sponsors are here," which is the golf equivalent of Marshawn Lynch's "I'm just here so I don't get fined" thing, that puts you in a really rough position as a tournament, because you want to promote the guy because he's been good to your tournament, he's played well in it, but now he's taking a big fat dump all over it, and the people who support it, because saying, "I don't like the golf course and I don't like the tournament, I'm just here because my sponsors are here, and so I'm making them happy." Well, of course the 500,000 people that are coming this week don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear about how you don't like it, but you've made a boatload of money off this tournament, and they just can't comprehend how you don't like the atmosphere. If you don't like it, don't play. Don't bother. Do a clinic with Ping's best customers. Show up at a Stance Sox party. Do those things. Don't play. If that's your MO and you don't like it, and I can understand, Watson could have very easily, and Phil Mickelson has made an art form of this, by the way. Phil Mickelson has very easily figured out how to absolutely rip course design, especially Rhys Jones. Man, he loves going after Rhys Jones. He's figured out how to rip a course designer without ripping the tournament. He's figured out how to rip the PGA Tour without ripping the tournament. He's figured out how to separate the fan experience and his apparent appreciation for their support from the things that he doesn't like about a course, about the tour, about tournament golf. And Bubba Watson would be smart to learn about that. Had Watson simply said, "I love this tournament and everything that it stands for, from the people, the Thunderbirds, the money raised, the zero waste component since waste management has gotten involved. I love all of those aspects, but I am not fond of the changes Tom Weisskopf brought in. They make the golf course more difficult for me, and I think I'm unfairly targeted as a longer hitter by those changes. However, I'm going to do my best this week, and whatever the result is, hopefully it's better than the last 2 years, and I win, and I can overcome what I don't like about this golf course and be a valiant champion, a worthy champion of this event. That's what he could have said, and it would have been no one would have thought the wiser. There would have been a quick piece about the changes because Phil Mickelson said something, and he lost the design bid to redesign Torrey North to Tom Weisskopf, which obviously was a piece of news last week because Mickelson referenced the dumb political process behind it in the San Diego area. And that all would have made sense, and he would have just shoved the Watson quote in there going, okay, yeah, that's fine. All right, we'll move on. Instead, he doesn't have the tact to say what a guy who is in that position, a multi-time major champion, should know to say. You just got to know how to do it. And Watson does this again and again. He complains about the pace of play, and it gets caught on a microphone, hot mic of the U.S. Open, the 18th. And he was right. Pace of play was terrible, and he was totally fine to rip into it. But then at the PGA Championship the prior summer, he's complaining that there's water on his club face, bro, and that he's having Ted Scott, his caddy, tee the ball up for him because it's raining. That speaks of a lack of understanding of optics, just a selfishness, a stupidity. It's stupidity. That's what it is. And Watson has no problem exhibiting that in public, and he doesn't care if he gets caught. Or at least he makes it seem that way. He's like, well, I need to do it. And then he gets called out on it, and he got called out this week, of course, because it wasn't really necessarily by us in the media. He got called up by the fans. And I'm sure the next time we see him, we'll go, well, I really appreciate that they laid into me. I need to become a better person, and I'm going to continue to work on getting better as a golfer and a man and a dad and blah, 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 blah. Something about religion in there, and we're all sinners and all that crap. And he won't change. He hasn't changed. You can do these profiles on the guy where you read him and go, well, you know, we had that sit-down moment with him and told him he's got to stop being a little baby. And he decided he was going to do it, and he's awesome now. No, it's not true. And all these guys try to sugarcoat it that are they're friends of Watson's. Obviously, your golf boys' friends. But you don't see a whole lot of people hanging out with Bubba Watson these days. Ricky Fowler defends him. He goes, well, he's just a big kid. Well, it's time to get over being a big kid. You're a mid-30s man. What are you, 36, Bubba? You got 2 Masters titles. Maybe had a chance for a third. You certainly have a chance for a third come April. You are one of the better golfers of this generation. You nearly have 10 PGA Tour wins. And you throw this stuff all the time that just makes you sound like a dolt. It is time to grow the hell up. It just is. And if you don't want to grow up, then play like crap or don't show up or don't talk to people. And don't give us this garbage about trying to be a better person, because every time you screw up and you say you're going to get better, you screw up again, and typically in a very similar way to the way you screwed up previously. So you're not getting any better. You're not. So stop that ruse and just embrace who you are. If you feel like you are a straight-shooting son of a gun who says what he thinks and is unapologetic for it, people can respect that. They can respect it more than the fake humility, than the fake self-improvement routine. All that's people embrace you if you are who you are proudly. And I think that's true about golf. People embrace Jordan Spieth because he really is that polite. I'm sure he enjoys a beer just like the rest of us, but he's pretty consistent. He's a pretty consistently nice guy. Ricky Fowler is embraced because he wears what he wants to wear and he acts how he wants to act. That turns out to make him a really nice guy, but that is who he is, and he embraces it. Rory McIlroy has learned to embrace who he is. He is not apologetic for having been a little bit of a playboy in the past, and he's not apologetic for telling the world that he's really freaking good at golf. People embrace that about him. People embraced, largely, Tiger Woods because he was unapologetically ice cold and stepped on throats, and He didn't want to talk to you. He just wanted to win and go home, and then win and go home. And he did that, and people respected that because he was really good. And people honor that because that's what it takes, at least that's Tiger's version of what it takes to be a great champion. But Bubba Watson waffles in between, and he goes, well, yeah, I'm going to try and be a better guy. And then he tweets ahead of his Thursday round, knowing full well that the crowd is waiting for him at 16 to just lay it on him. And he goes, well, he sends out a link to a Golf Channel video of the comments that he made, and then tries to essentially backtrack off of them in one tweet, going, I love the tournament, and I love the Phoenix Open. BS! Absolute BS. You can't all of a sudden go, I hate this thing, and I'm not going to lie about it, in a quote, and then go, oh, I love the tournament. That makes you a big fat phony. A big fat phony who clearly cares what people think, but at the same time has done absolutely nothing to better yourself as a human being. That's really frustrating. And I don't mean that just on an observational level as someone who works in golf and golf reporting. That frustrates me about people. When people know that they do scumbag things, or they do dishonest things, or they do things that just don't look and feel right to the majority of people, and they go, oh, you know, thank you for telling me. I'm going to really work on it. And then they don't. They don't get better. They don't change. And I know you can go, okay, well, people don't change. Yeah, probably. But some people can make drastic changes. It's really not that hard to develop a sense of tact. If you look back at the guys who were on the PGA Tour, who hit the PGA Tour just after Tiger Woods started dominating, they were all robotic mouthpieces. Now, it made them all completely uninteresting and impossible to separate one from another. If you told me Chad Campbell was Justin Leonard, other than knowing that Chad Campbell is taller, has a bigger head, it'd be pretty close. You could convince me. And I've seen them both in person and talked to them both in person. So, you know, you kind of have that era of guys who were just exactly the same. And now you've got an era of guys who are willing to say what they think, but shrouded a little bit. Bubba Watson needs to become one of those guys if he's going to win over more fans. It's just the way that it is. If he doesn't care about the fans genuinely, then stop acting like you do and that you want to get better. And just say, I am me, accept me or hate me, but I'm not changing. And let's move on. Let's stop it. And I think Bubba Watson has hurt himself so many times over the course of his career, more than a half dozen I can think of since he's become a Masters champion, where he has just refused to embrace his role in the game, where he's refused to become a better person, where he's refused to just understand how words work and operate like a normal human being. And if he can't do that, fine. If he doesn't want to do that, also fine. But don't carry the ruse that it's going to change. Because it's not. So that's that. The other guy I want to talk about this week is Ernie Els. And because we have the benefit of doing this show on Friday, we're the halfway mark of the Omega Dubai Desert Classic out there. And Els has won this tournament three times. And he's also simultaneously battling, or been battling, the yips. And we've seen it a couple of times very publicly, two or three times very publicly in the last, what, 6 months? Less than six, probably 6 months. Goes back to the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship when he straight pushed a 12 or 14-inch putt, missed it way right. And he did it again at the CIMB Classic. And then he did it again in South Africa where he missed the cut. I think he was the host of the South African Open and just straight pushed it. It was bad. And he decided he's going to change. He's going to go to a cross-handed grip and see what it does for him because he can't use the anchored stroke anymore. And he used that for a little while. Obviously won the 2012 Open Championship with a belly putter. That helped him out. But at the age of, what, 45, 46, he's got the yips. And he's looking for a way to deal with it. And now we're at the halfway point in Dubai, and he's one stroke off the lead of Rafa Cabrera-Bello. And that's awesome. I think to the contrast on Bubba Watson, people want Ernie Els to do well, even though, and I will say this, Ernie Els is not the most tactful guy in the world. And his reputation as the Big Easy, that's probably not all that accurate. Not to say that he isn't fairly easygoing, but there is an intensity in Ernie Els, not only in terms of how he competes, but also how he lives his life, that maybe has mellowed a little bit over the years, but it is the antithesis of his nickname. But he has embraced who he is. He has never denied it, and he has been who he's been as a great champion. He's won 4 major championships, and he's been a great player. People like that. They want a great player who has been good to fans, and his autism efforts are extremely commendable. And our John Lattin has written about it a few times, including an interview with the folks behind the Ernie Els Autism Center for Excellence. And it you want to see him do well. You want him to have that one last run. You want it for Phil. You want it for Tiger. You want it for those guys who you know their best days are behind them, but you just want it one more time. It could be a major. It could be a regular event. And Els said that he was struggling with the yips, that it could be a it's kind of end of career stuff. If you can't putt, it's going to be really hard to play golf. And Els has dropped into like the 200s in the world because he hasn't been able to putt, hasn't been able to finish well. And I'm sure he had been dreading the changeover from the anchoring stroke rule. And now he's maybe found an answer. And he says he's back in love with golf again. And that's the beauty of this sport, is that you go through so many ups and downs with golf that you have times where it's the best thing in the world. Everything's going right. You've got it almost figured out. And then somewhere, somehow, golf slaps you in the face and says, no, you don't. You don't have it right. And you screw up and you dread it and you hate it. And you're wondering why in the world you're doing this to yourself. And we're paying for it. They're at least getting paid for it. And then you figure out something and it starts all over again. And it takes you down another wonderful path. And your game evolves and you evolve. And the game evolves. I love it. I think that's what we all love about the sport, that it is impossible to master, but you get glimpses of it. No matter what kind of player you are, no matter your skill level, you get the glimpses of mastery. And you try to reach for that holy grail or whatever it is for you. And you get slapped away. Maybe you touch it for a minute and it feels amazing. But then you can't hold on to it forever. You can't even hold on to it for all that long. And for Ernie Els, I hope that continues for him this weekend. He would become a 4-time champion at Dubai, which has become a pretty big event on the European Tour. Rory McIlroy made 3 consecutive birdies to round out his second round to shoot even par 72, so he's, I think, 6 back going into the weekend. And it should be a really interesting board, and that's all you want from a European Tour event. I mean, these Desert Swing events are kind of the best they have to offer pretty much all year. And then it kind of waffles out for a while. And then you kind of get toward the heart of the European part of the European Tour schedule when you go play like the French Open and the Scottish Open and the Irish Open, the reinvigorated Irish Open. Which, by the way, there is a rumor out there now that Tiger Woods might play the Irish Open this year. Now, it's a rumor in the Irish press, which has been traditionally very unreliable about most anything rumor-based. They're not very good at that. Especially the Irish Independent. My God. They've screwed up a lot of things, really, to Rory McIlroy. But nonetheless, that's the rumor out there. And I've read it a couple times in the last week or two that Tiger could be coming back at the Irish Open, and the idea is a draw. You know, they're going to play at the K Club because it's the 10-year anniversary of the last Ryder Cup that was there. It's going to be great. And then they're obviously, McIlroy and his foundation and the tournament are starting to figure out places they can go and max out prize money and all that. Dubai Desert Free or Dubai Duty Free is a sponsor for, what, another year or two? And it's becoming a bigger and bigger tournament on the European Tour schedule just by value of having Rory McIlroy's name on it and having a better sponsor. So can they get Tiger Woods? Well, I guess then the question is Tiger coming back anytime soon? Because I have not heard, I don't think anybody has really heard from Tiger's camp that he's hitting balls again. At least he's doing it in a serious way. There was that picture out there from the Secret Tour Pro account, which if you figured out who the Secret Tour Pro is on Twitter, please tweet me your guess. I would love to know. Because I can't figure it out quite yet, and I'm actively involved in trying to figure out who in the world this person is. So, the Secret Tour Pro, I think it was in, what, December? The end of December, just before New Year? Or maybe on New Year's, tweeted about a picture that was supposedly from a source of Tiger working on the range at Bears Club, which none of that made sense and was debunked. But it got people talking, wondering whether or not Tiger is playing, whether he's trying to figure out how to get back into golf. But we have no indication of that. And we haven't heard anything, not a lick from Woods, since that litany of interviews he did that really, I mean, the best one was Lorne Rubenstein's piece in Time, which if you haven't read it, please go Google it. Go Google it now. Stop listening to this. Google it now. It's the best Tiger interview you'll ever read by far. It was because Tiger opened up and Lorne asked great questions. But we don't know when he's coming back, if he's coming back. And yet there are reports out there that drive the needle. I mean, if you look at, we're going to give you a little inside info here. If you look at the number of people who come to Golf News Net every day trying to figure out when Tiger Woods is going to come back, it's pretty sizable. I mean, it's not huge, but it's sizable. People want to know if Tiger's coming back and when he's going to play and what's he going to do and where's he been. And people are interested in about that with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy too, but not to the extent Tiger. Spieth's getting there. But people are interested. And we've had radio silence more or less for 2.5, 3 months. And I'm very curious. 2.5 months. I'm very curious what Woods is thinking when he sits on that couch in the morning laying down. Probably laying down if his back's still bothering him, going, how did I get here? And is the day going to come where he is able to just get up one day and swing clubs and work into it, and all of a sudden he says, I'm playing the Masters! And we all go, oh my God, it's amazing! And then he plays like garbage. I mean, he's never missed the cut as a professional at Augusta National, ever. And I don't think he would show up and jeopardize that. So I have no inside information to offer. I just find it fascinating that people are reporting that Tiger Woods is going to come back when we have no idea if he can even hit a golf ball. So I'm very interested to see that. One little quick pitch here for GNM Plus. If you haven't heard of it before, and if you haven't, then you probably haven't subscribed to the show before. It is our subscription service whereby for $3 a month or $30 annual access, 1 year access, you get a totally different GNN experience than anybody else that comes to the site. You get an ad-free experience, so no display ads, which obviously people enjoy. You don't have to deal with annoying ads. I enjoy because I don't have to show them to you. And you also get access to our best fantasy research. We're putting more and more tools out there every week to help you with fantasy research. Top 15 finish trends on the PGA Tour, DraftKings valuation trends, so you can see what guys are values compared to where they've been earlier in the year or throughout the year. We also are starting to introduce weekly updates of leaderboards from top 15 finishes from the last 5 years, which is a metric we use in determining horses for courses and guys that we should recommend to you each week on the PGA Tour. And we're going to make all those resources that are now available for you as a GNN Plus subscriber. Again, $3 a month or $30 a year. And then, in addition, we're starting to do our giveaways that are for only GNN Plus members. So this week, we started it, and throughout the month of February, we're offering, at the end of the month of February, we'll do a drawing for two different sets of prizes that will help you winterize your golf game. The winning prize, the first prize, is a Ruckit Rucknet, which is the premier indoor golf net. You can use outside too, but the premier golf net on the market today. And then Golf Zone Swing Talk Swing Analyzer, which is a great product that will help you really understand how your swing works, what you're doing at the moment of impact throughout your swing, and you can see it all visualized on a really cool app for your iOS or Android device. That's a $320 value, and then the second prize is a Ruckit Rucknet, which is $160. And those are only available for GNM Plus members, and then if you refer a member and you let us know who you've referred and they agree, then you both get an extra entry into the contest. So head over to golfnewsnet.com, check out GNM Plus and sign up, and get a friend to sign up. We're happy to have you join our growing community of folks who are serious about golf news and who support our site. We're very grateful for all of you who have done that. That'll do it for us this week on the show. Next week, we'll talk about the Phoenix Open, and we'll get ready for Jordan Spieth getting ready to hop back onto the PGA Tour schedule, playing at the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am. And anything else comes up in the world of golf, we're happy to banter around with you. Follow me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. Follow Golf News Net on Twitter at Golf News Net. And if you are a Snapchat person, you can find Golf News Net on the Snapchat at Golf News Net. Till next week, I'm Ryan Ballingy saying thanks so much for listening to our show. We'll see you next week on the 19th Hole Golf Show.